Welcome to your GCSE English Literature Revision Podcast. I'm your study guide tutor, and today we're diving deep into one of the most powerful and rewarding poems on the Power and Conflict anthology, Ozymandias by Percy Bysshe Shelley. Whether your exam is weeks away or just days away, this episode is going to give you everything you need to write a brilliant top-band response. So let's get started. Ozymandias is a 14-line sonnet written in 1817 by the romantic poet Percy Bysshe Shelley. In just 14 lines, Shelley manages to do something extraordinary. He dismantles the entire idea of political power and human legacy, and he does it with devastating irony. The poem describes a traveler who tells the narrator about a ruined statue in the desert. The statue is of Ozymandias, the Greek name for Rameses II, one of the most powerful pharaohs of ancient Egypt. But the statue is broken, the face is half buried in the sand, and the inscription on the pedestal, which boasts of the king's greatness, is surrounded by nothing but empty desert. That contrast between the boast and the reality is the heart of the poem. Examiners absolutely love it when candidates engage with that central irony from the very first line of their response. So keep that idea front and center. Now let's work through the core concepts you need to master. First, the theme of power and hubris. Hubris is excessive pride, and Ozymandias is the ultimate example of it. The inscription on the pedestal reads, "My name is Ozymandias, King of Kings. Look on my works, ye mighty, and despair." This is a direct address. Ozymandias is speaking across time, commanding even other powerful rulers to bow before his greatness. But here's the devastating irony that Shelley builds into the poem. Those works no longer exist. There's nothing to look on. The word despair takes on a completely different meaning from what Ozymandias intended. He meant it as a boast. Despair because you can never match me. But the reader understands it as a warning. Despair because even the greatest power crumbles to nothing. That double meaning is called dramatic irony, and it's worth a lot of marks if you can explain it clearly. Second, the theme of time and decay. Shelley uses imagery of physical destruction throughout the poem to show that time is the ultimate power, greater than any king. The statue's face is described as a shattered visage. The word shattered suggests violent, irreversible destruction. The legs are trunkless. They stand alone, disconnected from the body, which is a powerful visual image of something that was once whole and is now broken. The phrase colossal wreck is particularly important. The capital W on wreck gives it a sense of grandeur. This was once something enormous. But the word wreck itself strips away all dignity. Candidates who can explore the tension between those two words, colossal and wreck, are demonstrating exactly the kind of perceptive analysis that earns level 4 marks. Third, the role of the sculptor and the theme of art versus power. Here's something that many students miss, and it's a really sophisticated point. Look at lines 6 to 8. Tell that its sculptor, well, those passions red, which yet survive, stamped on these lifeless things, the hand that mocked them, and the heart that fed. The sculptor, an artist, has outlasted the king. The passions of Ozymandias, his cruelty and arrogance, survive only because the sculptor captured them in stone. The phrase, "the hand that mocked them," is brilliantly ambiguous. Mocked can mean both copied or sculpted, as in the sculptor's hand reproduced the king's expression, and ridiculed, as in the hand that made fun of the king's arrogance. Shelley, as a romantic poet, believed deeply in the power of art to outlast political power. This is a Marxist and romantic reading of the poem that examiners will reward if you can articulate it clearly. Fourth, the frame narrative and the multiple voices. This is a structural feature that many candidates overlook. The poem has 3 layers of narration. First, there is the narrator, the I, who opens the poem. Second, there is the traveler whose account the narrator reports. Third, there is Ozymandias himself speaking through the inscription. This layered structure creates distance between the reader and Ozymandias. We never hear his voice directly. It is always filtered through others. This structural choice reinforces the poem's theme. Ozymandias believed his legacy would speak for itself, but instead, his words are just a story told by a stranger to another stranger. His voice has been diminished to a secondhand anecdote. That is a powerful structural point worth making in your essay. Fifth, the sonnet form and its disruptions. Ozymandias is a Petrarchan sonnet, 14 lines, traditionally associated with love poetry. Shelley subverts this form to write about power and decay instead, which is itself a statement. The rhyme scheme is irregular, ABABACDCEDEFEF, and this irregularity mirrors the disrupted, fragmented nature of the statue and of Ozymandias's power. The iambic pentameter is also broken in places, particularly around the inscription, which creates a jarring, uncomfortable rhythm that reflects the collapse of order. The volta, the turn in the argument, comes around line 9, when we move from the description of the statue to the inscription itself. Examiners reward candidates who can link formal features like the volta and the rhyme scheme to the poem's themes rather than just identifying them. Now let's talk exam tips and the most common mistakes I see candidates making. Mistake number 1, treating the poem as a celebration of power. This is the most common misreading. Some candidates read, "King of Kings and look on my works, ye mighty, in despair," and think Shelley is praising Ozymandias. He absolutely is not. The entire poem is built on irony. The boast is undermined by the emptiness that surrounds it. Always read the inscription in the context of, "Nothing beside remains." That phrase is the key to the whole poem. Mistake number 2, describing the poem instead of analyzing it. Examiners call this narrative description. Saying, "The statue is broken and lying in the desert," is not analysis. Analysis sounds like, "The verb shattered suggests a violent and irreversible destruction," implying that time does not merely erode power gradually, but can break it catastrophically, reinforcing Shelley's argument that no ruler can withstand the forces of nature and time. Do you hear the difference? Always ask yourself, what effect does this word or phrase have on the reader? And why did Shelley choose it? Mistake number 3, bolting on context as a separate paragraph. Context should be woven into your analysis, not added at the end as an afterthought. Instead of writing a whole paragraph that begins, "Shelley was a romantic poet who lived in the early 19th century," try integrating it. Shelley, writing in 1817 as a radical who opposed monarchy and tyranny, uses the inscription's ironic collapse to suggest that political power is always temporary, a view that would have been provocative and politically charged in the context of post-Napoleonic Europe. Mistake number 4, ignoring the frame narrative. Always acknowledge that we are hearing this story at 2 removes from a traveler reported by a narrator. This structural distance is meaningful and examiners will credit you for discussing it. Now for your quickfire recall quiz, I'll ask 5 questions. Pause the podcast after each one and try to answer before I give you the answer. Question 1. What is the name of the historical figure Ozymandias is based on? Pause now. The answer is Ramesses II, Egyptian pharaoh. Question 2. What does the word hubris mean? Pause now. The answer is excessive pride or arrogance. Question 3. Quote the inscription on the pedestal in full. Pause now. The answer is "My name is Ozymandias, King of Kings. Look on my works, ye mighty, and despair." Question 4. What is a volta and where does it occur in Ozymandias? Pause now. A volta is the turn or shift in argument in a sonnet. In Ozymandias, it occurs around line 9 when the poem moves from describing the statue to revealing the inscription. Question 5. Name 2 techniques Shelley uses to convey the theme of decay. Pause now. Any 2 from the adjective shattered, the noun wreck with a capital W, the phrase nothing beside remains, the imagery of lone and level sands, or the broken iambic pentameter. How did you do? If you struggled with any of those, go back and reread the relevant section of your notes. Let's wrap up with a quick summary of the 5 things you absolutely must remember about Ozymandias. 1, the central irony. Ozymandias's boastful inscription is completely undermined by the desolation that surrounds it. Power is temporary. Nature and time are not. 2, key quotes to learn. Colossal wreck, sneer of cold command, nothing beside remains, lone and level sands stretch far away, and the hand that mocked them. 3, the sculptor outlasts the king. Art is more durable than political power. This is a romantic and Marxist reading of the poem. 4. The frame narrative. 3 voices, 3 layers of distance. Narrator, traveler, inscription. This structural choice diminishes Ozymandias' legacy. 5. The form. an irregular Petrarchan sonnet. The broken rhyme scheme and disrupted iambic pentameter mirror the broken statue and the collapse of power. When you sit down to write your essay, remember, every paragraph should have a clear point, an embedded quote, analysis of the writer's methods and their effect, and integrated context. Never retell the poem, always analyze it. And always keep the central irony in mind. The most powerful ruler in the world is remembered only as a ruin in an empty desert. Good luck in your exam. You've got this.